Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Should be a fun one. I tell you what, I've been looking forward to this conversation for about the last 10 months. It's been 10 months since we were on a football field. Left the field up in Marshall on a kind of a downer.
All right.
But my guest this morning is Fairfield Mules head football coach Justin Townsend. Good morning, Justin. How are
morning.
You today?
Morning. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here. Thanks very much. I see you brought a guest. We're not going to make the kid talk, but
he might pipe in on something.
He might pipe in if we, you know,
we start talking Packers or something like that.
See, that's the thing.
But we're not going to talk about those.
We're not going to talk about the Packers. We might talk about the Bears and the Rams or something like that, and the Illini, but he's a Packer fan, huh?
He does like the Illini, so.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. We're going to talk mainly high school football here today, probably touch a little bit on the college game as well as the pros. When I get a football expert in, it's always fun to talk about several different things. And Coach Townsend, you have now been the head coach of the Fairfield Mules. Is this entering your 15th season?
I came in 2001, would have been my first season, so I guess that would be 14 seasons, maybe?
This would be 15.
15, yeah.
This will be 15.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's flown by. It's went really quick, honestly. It doesn't seem like I've been here this, you know, back this long, but it's you know, the job that I always wanted to have. I didn't intend on having it at 22 years old when I first got it.
Yeah.
Really wouldn't change anything. It's been a fun experience.
It's been a lot of learning experience.
Absolutely.
Though, too, for you, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And just the whole staff in general. We were all pretty young when we took the job and came back to Fairfield. And you know, I'd like to obviously know then what I know now. You know,
sure.
It's some of those scenarios. But like I said, I wouldn't change anything. It's been a really awesome experience. And this is where I want to be. So
we're going to talk a little bit about the staff as well as mention some of the players for this year, this season coming up. Before we get to that, we've got to put a little bit of a bow on 2014-2015 season. The 14 season, as I just mentioned, ended in Marshall in the playoffs. At the end of the year, the Mules took four tough losses out of five games.
All right.
Looking back a year later, do the kids, do you, the coaching staff, as well as the kids, do you learn from that, or do you just still think angrily, I'd really like to have that last 5 minutes at Marshall over, or what?
The biggest thing, and obviously I go back and I watch film all winter and spring, and, you know, this past couple weeks I've actually been watching a lot of Chester film because the schedule rotates and we play them week one now, but the biggest thing I came away with is, you know, each game we lost, and usually you can say this about, you know, a lot of people say this about football game in general, that there's four or five plays maybe that, you know, dictate that
over again,
dictate the outcome of the game. And you know, it wasn't necessarily like, you know, defensively, we were in the right spot. We just didn't make the play. Or, you know, or there was a possession that decided the game. And we were right there in every single one of those games.
Right.
I mean, I felt like, you know, with the exception of maybe Johnston City, I think they beat us a couple of scores.
Yeah.
And they were pretty physical, pretty tough team. But we were right there in all those losses. And that's the frustrating thing. But at the same time, it's – hey, we were in the game. We had an opportunity to win it. Most of the games, you know, it came down to the last few minutes in the fourth quarter. And as long as you put yourself in a position to win games in that situation against a good team, I don't, you know, really know what more you can ask for.
That was kind of the interesting thing about the El Dorado game,
mm-hmm.
just in that that was the one that went to overtime.
Right.
But it was 52-52 in regulation.
Right.
You've played professionally. You played in Arena League, right?
Yeah, for a few games, yes.
Did the scores ever get that crazy even in Arena League?
Well, in the Arena League, you never felt like you were really out of it because points, I mean, a matter of seconds, you're putting up points. I mean, anybody that's watched Arena
short
League
field.
Yeah, Arena League football on TV, that's the exciting aspect of it. I mean, you're able – points. Everybody wants to see points scored. You got the receivers going in motion forward, kind of – I don't know if – I know ESPN has the Canadian Football League. Yeah. Field's actually a little wider. They got an extra guy out there, and there's guys going in motion towards the line of scrimmage. That's tough on a defense, you know.
Sure.
So points are a premium, or, you know, you can score a lot of points, and a lot of the time defensively you're going to struggle. But even that El Dorado game, I mean, a lot of points scored, but, you know, we felt like there were some fourth down plays that we, you know, gave up a big couple big passing plays that we, you know, legitimately knew what they were going to do, and they just out-executed us a little bit. And definitely, you got to learn from those mistakes. You got to work on those things in the off season and make yourself a little more sound for the upcoming season.
You mentioned that you've been watching tape. How do you watch tape on Chester with Bryant? They're going to have a new head coach.
Right.
Did they retain? They kept an assistant, didn't they?
The guy that their defensive coordinator, who is a Chester, I think maybe alumni, but he had been there for a while. He's also the head baseball coach. I can't think of his name, but he's still there. So they did lose their offensive coordinator,
Jeremy Bleckley.
Okay. And they lost their head coach, Brian Lee, who's at Carbondale now. Actually took an assistant administrative position and then is now the head football coach. You know, really good position for him, and I think he'll kind of get that program headed in the right direction, I think. But I think you're going to see a lot of similarities because of what they've done in the past, just because, you know, essentially they didn't get their new coach hired into June.
You're right.
And quite frankly, they've been pretty successful doing what they've been doing. You know, so the one thing I really noticed with Chester, and I think something that's unique going into this season with a lot of teams in the conference, is I think about every team has a couple of players that are pretty elite coming back. You know, I know I feel like we do. Chester has the Burner kid, who's pretty special. Christopher has the Wheeler receiver, who's one of the better receivers. Susser's got a stud receiver. Owens coming back. Johnston City has the Goldoni brothers. I think I'm saying that right.
There was a freshman and a junior last year.
Right, and I think that'll kind of be your quarterback, fullback combination there. Plus, both of them can kick the ball out of the end zone.
That's an incredible weapon.
Right, and that's a huge weapon. And then, you know, obviously El Dorado was pretty young just in general last year. With that, I think everybody lost some really key guys. I know we did, but, you know, El Dorado probably lost their three best players, but they literally got everybody back. So
everybody else.
Yeah, everybody else back. So it's unique, I think. You know, and you kind of look at the all-conference, there was a lot of juniors on there. So it's going to be an interesting year, but that's, you know, going back to Chester, I think they're the same way. They lost some key guys. They lost their whole backfield, lost their quarterback, lost a lot of their skill positions. Now they do have a few linemen back, and then they got the Burner kid that plays linebacker, tight end for them.
Yeah.
That's probably a Division I caliber athlete.
He's going to get the ball.
Right. So, you know, I if it was me, he'd probably be in the backfield, probably getting 25, 30 touches a game because, I mean, he's 6'4", 225.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll take my chances with him. But we'll see where they put him. He played quarterback as a freshman. So I don't think he'll be there, but he's an athlete. I mean,
how do you go about your preparation differently with I know with a tougher team at the start of the season? It's been a little while since the Mules have really faced at the front end of the season a pretty loaded opponent.
I don't know that our preparation is going to be that much different, other than we feel like a lot of times going into week one, we try to have some things, a few things that we want to be able to do really well.
Yeah.
And the difference is this: now we want to have a few more things that we can, you know, I think we want to have a few more things we can throw at them. And I think it's unique because you literally just played them week 9, the last regular season. And then you're going to turn around and play them week 1. And I think that's a unique aspect of it. But we just, you know, we're going to obviously watch a lot of last year's film and see what they did well against us and what worked for us and vice versa. I'm sure they're doing the same thing, and you want to make adjustments. But I think it's important to have a few new wrinkles going into week one. So,
looking at the schedule for this year, the interesting new wrinkle in it is Tremont in week four, heading up to. Then this is a one game only deal.
Headed up north
To play the Turks.
The Tremont Turks actually have a Southern Illinois connection. Lou Wicks is their head football coach. He was the coach at Carmi, I think, probably back when I was in high school, early 90s, mid 90s maybe. So I have a little bit of a Southern Illinois connection. From what I've seen, what I've been able to gather, I think they're going to be a spread team. They like to throw it around a little bit.
You're fortunate in that you've got 3 weeks to gather tapes.
We'll have film, and I'm sure we'll do a mutual exchange. Generally, they'll probably take two of our films, and we'll take two of theirs, and we'll go from there. So that's not as much as an issue maybe as it would have been 10, 15 years ago. You know, we've probably been scrambling a little bit, but you know, I've had a lot of people ask me how that
game came about.
And it's.
I was going to ask you next, but I do know.
Yeah.
But you go ahead.
Well, essentially, first of all, they're a 2A, 3A school, so they're very comparable in size to us.
Yeah.
And I think they won 5 games last year. They either went 5-4 and didn't have enough playoff points, or went 4-5. They were 4-4 going into week 9. I'm not sure exactly what happened. Obviously, we were a little consumed with Marshall and things like that.
You might have been busy.
Right. But we thought that they were an option, we kind of follow them. I like to kind of see what's going on with them. But really, they were only our legitimate option as far as a school our size. We had basically 3 options. We could go up to Rockford, and I think we were going to play a 6A school or something up there. Not a good situation.
No.
Another option was to go down to Kentucky. McCracken County got an unbelievable facility down there. They do like a showcase on a Saturday. Was going to be a really neat deal for the kids, and actually going to pay us a little money to come down there, but they couldn't guarantee who we were playing, and there was a chance, and we kind of got the feeling we might end up playing McCracken County, which is a school of 2,000, and
that might not have been
and
fun.
It would not. And then on the other hand, if we didn't, we might play Mayfield, Kentucky, which is a smaller school, but they were state champions in Kentucky, and they beat McCracken County, who's so I. I don't know how good of an experience it would have been. You know, now I wouldn't have minded playing a school our size, state champ or not in Kentucky. I wouldn't have minded that. I just didn't want to play a school at 2,000.
Right.
That's not a good situation for anybody. And I think their quarterback is going to be playing at UK. He's verbal and he's going to sign with UK. So we would have saw a Division I quarterback, I guess, SEC quarterback.
Well, that's fun.
But
it doesn't help the bottom line.
Not if they're going up and down the field. Yeah. But
you might have seen them over and over.
But so, I mean, we didn't. And with the open week that we had, there's not a lot of options. And
the open week comes from Alvarado dropping out a couple of years ago.
And Alvarado is now co-opted with DeCoin, which is probably a good situation for the Alvarado kids. And so it's kind of worked out for them. And
does Trico co-op with anybody?
I do not think Trico co-ops. They're pretty big into baseball and basketball out there, and that's kind of what they hang their hat on. You know, I always felt like Alvarado, if they could have got all the athletes from Trico, could have been pretty competitive.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe that because there was a run there. I think when Shane Hawkins was at SIU or at Alvarado for basketball, Trico, yeah. They were good.
They were tough.
They were really tough, and they had some big, strong, athletic kids.
They did.
And they didn't play football. And so it was kind of the demise of their program. I really believe that.
So that game is on the Saturday afternoon in Tremont.
Yes, 2 o'clock, I believe.
Saturday afternoon on September 20th, I want to say. I'm looking at the 19th. September 19th. Yep. I'm talking with Fairfield Mules head football coach Justin Townsend. We're going to get a little bit more into the roster of the Mules coming up, what we're expecting, what he's kind of looking at. And when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show, we'll be back right after these words.
Drivers still is at a drive. Me and the boys.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. I've got Fairfield Mules head football coach Justin Townsend joining me this morning. He's been there 15 years, entering his 15th year. I believe you've got your record. You finally got your record over 500 a couple of years ago, and you're still there.
Yeah, it's a upward battle after you go 1-8 that first year, you know. But we did get better that year. That's the important thing, and we were competitive. But yeah, and hopefully we can just keep working and keep building on that. And
the Mules last year went 6-4 after the playoffs, and looking to improve on that. Had three really close losses that probably would like to have back. But you've got some a little change around in the schedule with Chester first this year. Tell me a little bit about the roster. It's not every year you have a 1,000-yard runner coming back.
No, it's not. And that's Colton Land, of course. And had a great season for us last year. Looking for big things. You know, he's bigger, faster, stronger now. And probably won't find a kid that's worked any harder.
Yeah.
I mean, I can honestly say that. I mean, around pretty common to see him. You know, I get to the school early. He's first of all, he's got his truck and his lawnmower hooked up, trailer, and he's at the gym already working out before workouts. Then he goes to workouts, and then he's mowing all afternoon, and he's just a hard worker. And you know, he doesn't look the way that he does on accident. You know, he works at it, and you know, that's the biggest thing. I think it's been good for our younger kids to see what hard work can do and the results that you can get. So we're pretty excited about having him, but he's, you know, by no means all that we have. You know, we have a lot of good weapons coming back. You know, we feel like, you know, Wyatt Bohr can have a big breakout year for us. We feel like we're pretty solid at the quarterback position. Got a couple of kids that can definitely play, and you know, Mitchell probably going to be the starter, the senior, but definitely feel like Schneider's earned some time and will get some snaps as well, because they both have worked extremely hard trying to get better. We actually went to some quarterback camps.
How'd they do?
Did well. We went over to Red Hill once a week in June and worked with Coach Billy Gray.
Speaking of good quarterbacks.
Yeah, a heck of a quarterback. Played at McKendree for 4 years. So, you know, we worked on those things, worked with some of our receivers. You know, so we feel like we got some good offensive weapons to come back. We got some good speed. You know, and it's, you know, you talk about, you know, Bohr and Land, you forget about Esmond coming back at fullback.
Who basically goes straight up the middle and just knocks teams. He's the knockout punch.
I mean, I think teams really get concentrating, you know, on Land and forget about him. And he had some huge games for us last year. Haven't seen him this summer. He's been at basic training. So we're going to get him back just in time that he can get enough practices in.
How's that work? He's already basically in the armed forces.
National Guard. And they just basically it's happened a few times with some athletes I've had that basically the summer before their summer or senior year, they go and they get their basic training done, and that way they're able to, what is it, 1 week in a month?
Yeah.
That way they're able to do that as a senior, and I think get a little extra money and put them in a position where they can go to college and things like that. So Anthony Lyke is also doing that for us. He's a guy that he gets back. I think he'll be back for the start of practice, and kind of pencil him in at right guard, hoping he can be a lineman for us. And so we'll see what happens, though.
Defensively, are you making any changes? Is Bobby, you give up 60 points in a game, it's got to make you rethink stuff.
Well, yeah, but a lot of it, and we talked about it, we got to tackle better this year. I don't know that it wasn't a lot of times we were in the right position. We just didn't make the play.
We didn't
make the tackle, or you know, and whereas the year before when we won conference, it seemed like we made that tackle and we got those breaks and we made that play.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the game of football. Sometimes you make them and sometimes you don't. And that's what I said earlier. A play or two here is can dictate a winning or a losing team, you know, and that was the result. We were on the good side of it a couple of years ago, on the wrong side of it last year. But no, defensively, we, for one, we got a lot of guys coming back. You know, we got S-Timer coming back at linebacker, all conference kid coming back, so he's pretty tough. We're going to move Land to a corner. Probably the biggest corner.
As opposed to outside linebacker?
Yeah, I'm going to move just because we feel like we have some good depth and maybe reduce some of the wear and tear on him out at corner, maybe keep him a little fresher. But you know, we feel like we have some guys that can step in there and do some things for us.
How about special teams? Okay, are we kicking field goals this year?
That's yet to be determined. You know, we feel like, every year I go back and look at that to see, is it worth going
for
two?
I didn't ask about extra points. I asked about field goals.
Oh, okay.
Extra points, I'm not going to even try to steer you off your statistical thing. Well, I like the going for two.
Well, and we get a majority of our goal, our two-point conversions, and that's why we keep doing it. So if we have a field goal kicker, heck yeah, we're going to kick field goals, but it's just, it's one of those things. It's real easy. And it's funny to see the kids. They'll get out there pre-practice and coach kicked a 35 yarder and he's 10 yards back. He's right. Like, you don't have that much time.
That's right.
You got to have a perfect snap, perfect hold, perfect kick. And on top of that, you better block. So, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff can go wrong. And I think people see it on TV, like, quarterback or the kicker in NFL, they kick that, no problem.
So 99%.
It's not that simple in high school football. Now Southern Illinois has had some good kickers early. I think Heron had a stud that went Division I, so I mean there are good kickers, but I don't even want to say the S word, the soccer word, but a lot of times that's where your kickers come from. The kids that have been playing soccer a lot of times.
Well, you've had that in your program.
And, we've had some exchange students that have came over. And actually, the Cegeda kid a couple of years ago.
He was effective.
He had not played a lot of competitive soccer, but he had played some just in kind of like PE type stuff. But he really worked at it. He saw that was a thing he could do. And but that's a lot of times, I know these bigger schools, those kids play, I know Anna Jonesboro, Marion, those kids play soccer and football at the same time, and that's just what they do. So, if we had a kid coming Fairfield and he can kick the ball and field goals, I have no problem. I'd much rather have a kid that can put it in the end zone and they start at the 20.
No kidding.
But we'll see.
We've had all conference punters recently.
We have. Anthony Thomas has been an all conference punter for us. He's going to continue playing at Morthland College, so we're kind of excited about that. But his brother, the incoming freshman, the Heftern boy can punt a little bit. So
really?
We'll see how things go. Special teams are huge. That's one thing. Going back, watching film, we got to be better in.
Yeah.
A lot of times in those close games, it's special
teams.
They
were getting runbacks to the 30 and the 40.
Right. We got to have better coverage on our kicks. We got to have better kick just in general. Last year we didn't really have a legitimate punter. We had to do some things. We had to rugby punt and things like that. Just, it's something you take for granted a lot of times, and it's not always there, and you just have to improvise.
You mentioned that Anthony Thomas going to college, playing college football. That must be whenever you get a player who's able to play at a higher level, that must be real satisfying for
Absolutely.
You and the staff.
Yeah, and Derek Graffs, who's playing at Greenville right now. John Scarborough is going to go to McKendree and be on the powerlifting team.
Wow.
So anytime we have some guys go to that next level, Dylan Bailey is playing in Illinois College. So we have some guys, hopefully I didn't forget anybody, but we have some guys right now playing at the college level or going on to compete collegiately. And anytime that you've had a hand in that, it feels pretty good.
Yeah.
And for them to love the game enough to continue to play at the next level, because it is a love. It has to be a love. It's
a
work.
Labor of love,
it's a work at the next level. I got Landon right here, and that's kind of, he's going in the seventh grade, and we were talking about that a little bit yesterday, just that, it you got to start putting in the work.
That's
right. Maybe is not as much fun as when you were younger, but when you win on Friday night, there ain't a better feeling.
That's right.
You know, and that's why you put in the time. That's why you work. And you know, the same thing at the collegiate level. You know, you're in college, and you know, a lot of times those guys have part time jobs, but they're going to class and they're practicing, and you get home for practice, and maybe you got to be in the weight room at 6 a.m. I mean, it's a huge commitment, and for those kids to do that, it's pretty exciting for them, and I'm glad that they do it.
We're going
to
talk a little bit more about college football, as well as maybe talk a little bit of Bears football with head coach Justin Townsend of the Fairfield Mules when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show. We'll be back in just a minute. Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Joined this morning by Fairfield Mules head football coach Justin Townsend. The blood is flowing in Justin, man. He's ready and fired. You ready and fired up for football season?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited.
Does it take you a little time to decompress after the end of a season, or like 5 minutes, or what's it usually take?
Yeah, it does take a little time. We don't do a lot with the kids, really, until January, you know, as far as after school stuff, which that's changed a lot because we have weight training now,
right,
in school as an alternative to PE. So we have a lot of our football kids in weight training every day, not just football kids, athletes in general, kids in general. It's one of the more popular classes at the school. So we get them in the weight room all year round, but as far as after school stuff, a couple days a week. We don't really start that till January, and
we didn't really get a chance to talk, or haven't talked yet, about the summer program. Yep. You did the combined summer program again, didn't you?
Yeah, we tweaked things a little bit. We did all school strength and conditioning on Monday, Wednesday. That's where we bring all the athletes in, basically put them through a CrossFit type workout, generally consisting of a body weight exercise, uh-huh, whether it's burpees, air squats, push ups. Some type of conditioning. Maybe we'll do tire flips one day, and we do that every Monday, Wednesday. That's volleyball players, cross country, basketball, football, whoever can come. And
how was the attendance?
Very good. I'd say once again, on our good days, we were almost at 100, and even on a bad day, we were around 50-60. And so attendance is pretty awesome. Our kids do a nice job with that. And then Tuesday, Thursday, bring football kids in from 9 to 10. I bring freshmen in the weight room, and then 10 to 11 bring the varsity guys in, and we hit the weights pretty hard, and then generally try to go and throw the football around last 15, 20 minutes.
You've kind of changed, or the – let me – not maybe not you, but the football practice regimen has changed over the years, hasn't it? It's more of a concentrated –
yes,
short hit type of thing now, right, as opposed to 3 hours of the hell, right?
Right. That's changed. They got the heat acclimation process that they have in. Illinois is unique. I know Indiana, I'm not exactly sure, but I think pretty well they can – June, they can meet with them, but July they really can't do much with them until they actually start practice. And my thing is, as long as everybody's on the same page, if they wanted to make – the summer a dead period, as long as everybody else is not doing anything, okay.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you feel like you got to do stuff to stay competitive. Plus, you know, our kids want to get better, and you know, we have several kids right now that, in addition to the workouts we're doing, you know, they're hitting the gym uptown. So you know, that's exciting. But as far as practice goes, yes, you can starting out, you can only have 3 hours total of practice a day that first week, but only 2 hours at a time. Okay, so.
So you can go 2 and 1.
Yeah, you can go to 2 and 1, or I guess you could go an hour and a half, however you want to do it. And including walkthrough, you could have an hour walkthrough, but at the same, it's not like you can piggyback that walkthrough onto the hour practice.
Oh, I see.
So you have to have 2 hours in between. First 2 days are helmets. The next three are helmet shoulder pads, and then by Saturday you can go full pads. So we're going to go starting a week from today. We already have one of our practices in because we're going to go 6:30 to 7:30. Probably going to be some conditioning taking place that hour.
Well, you see, now that'd be the good time
right.
to do it.
We're going
to
get it knocked out. And then that way, even when the teachers start school on Thursday, Friday, we can keep that 6:30 to 7:30 time. And then we're going to, freshmen are going to go 8 to 10. And then we're going to bring our varsity back in the evening 6 to 8. And that'll be our schedule the first week. And we're going to get after it. Kids know what to expect. We're going to challenge them that week. But we're just going to kind of set the tone for the season. And I know our kids will respond.
I know you haven't had a practice yet, but how are the what are numbers are you expecting?
We did have 2 weeks of camp in July. I think we're going to be around 20 freshmen, maybe as many as 22, which
that's
is
pretty good.
That's pretty good. We're excited about that. You know, we got a group of freshmen that are really, really committed to football. We've taken taken them in a few 7-on-7s. They actually, now it was fresh soft, but mainly freshmen, they went 3-0 Saturday.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And they can throw the football around a little bit. So I think they're going to be a fun group to watch. Varsity-wise, I think we're going to be mid to high 30s. So we're going to be pushing 60 again. That's one thing I can say that, you know, we've maintained our numbers here very well, and it's pretty common every year you can expect us to have 60 kids, and especially in this day and age, you look at the a lot of the research, football, not as many football kids are playing, you know,
right.
There's just percentages are down. So the fact that we're able to maintain, I think it's because we do things the right way. Our GFL program has been pretty active about involving me in the process, which is, I think, to help retain kids, and it's good. You know, hopefully we're building the program up the right way.
How are our Illini going to look this season? Now you have a little bit more insider knowledge than most because you chat with those coaches from time to time.
Yeah, every now and then they once a year they're pretty good about coming down and just meeting with us and kind of, you know, not because we always have kids that can play at that level. They're few and far between, especially just here in Southern Illinois. That's just another level of football, but pretty good about reaching out. They give us, I think they give the high school coaches 2 tickets to any game you want to go to, so that's always nice. I try to get up there, you know, once a year, but it hadn't worked out, you know, since Landon playing JFL football, and my daughter Jaden ran cross country in junior high, so Saturdays were pretty well.
Yeah, those kind of taken, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We were talking about on the break with the kind of the lawsuits going on. Beckman, I don't know if he's the right man for the job. You know, I think, you know, it'd be great if we could get an Urban Meyer or somebody like that, but there's not a lot of those guys out there.
Yeah,
and then are you willing to pay for him, too? And that's the thing. You know, now, you know, we're coming off a pretty good year. I think maybe a year that I don't think people expected us to do what we did, you know.
Well, especially when they were 4-6 at the end,
right,
and able to win their last two to get into the bowl game. I think it surprised a lot of folks.
But a lot of that was that the Dudek wide receiver kid was pretty special at the end of the year, and he's what, ACL in the offseason?
ACL.
Probably not back till October, if at all. You know, is it realistic for him to come back to the level that he was playing? Like I said, I think if we could get 6 wins, it'd be a pretty special season, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen. I feel like I'm repeating myself from last year because and every year we've done this. I just, it's hard to be optimistic. It's hard to be an Illinois fan. It really is. I mean, I love watching them play, and it seems like it's a lot of disappointment and things like that, but I guess it makes it, you know, when you have, you know, the year with Juice and they go to the Rose Bowl, you know, it's just makes those years special,
I guess, right.
You know.
That's right. What do you think about John Fox?
I think it's a good hire. I think they've
– Justin Townsend, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, a big Bears fan, and John Fox, they hired him away from Denver.
Yeah. And it kind of sounded like Denver was ready for him to be gone, though.
Yeah.
I don't know that they cleaned his office out. The assistant coach Manning was ready for him to be gone. I mean, but I think it was a good – we needed somebody to come in and kind of clean house a little bit. Discipline, I think, it sounded like in the locker room was a problem. I think, you know, Fox is a no-nonsense type guy, and I think we needed that. And I think we need to get back to – being a better defensive team, we're switching to the 3-4. That kind of scares me going in.
Briggs like the 3-4.
Well, he's. I don't know. I don't. It's anytime you ask those pro guys to do something different and something they're unaccustomed to. I mean, you're going to get some rebellion, and you got to see some success out of it. And that's why I worry this first year, which quite frankly, though, our defense was pretty bad. Last year,
can't get a lot worse.
As far as
your standard Bears defense goes,
right.
That was not a Bears defense.
And
Peanut got hurt.
Yeah, Peanut losing him hurts. You know, just because, quite frankly, he's one of the good guys in the NFL, and you know, leader on our defense. And there's going to be an adjustment period. I mean, and you know, everybody, when you talk about the Bears, you want to talk quarterback, you want to talk Cutler, and
talk soap opera.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And my thing with him, Bears fans that are pretty knowledgeable, it's kind of like, who else are you going to get? Because there's not a lot of elite quarterbacks out there that come along.
He can be.
And, you know, you got your haves and have nots. I feel like we're kind of in the middle. We have something. He's not special. He's not Aaron Rodgers, you know. As much as I hate to say that, but you know,
Landon sitting next to you, the Packers fan.
I mean, but who are you gonna get? It's you know, you got
Nick
team
Foles.
Right? You know, there's just you know, you got
Sam Bradford.
Right? You got what you got, and you got to try to put some pieces around him. You got to try the arm strength's there, obviously, the ability's there. Let's hopefully put some guys around him. Let's establish a running game, and let's put him in a situation where he can be successful. I mean, that's what you got. You have him. He has the ability. And, you know, hopefully as a coaching staff, you can put him in the right situation to be successful. You know, and a lot of that with when we've had good defenses, he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
When we've struggled defensively and teams are scoring, I think he's felt like he's had to do more. And that, as a result, made bad decisions.
As you know, when you've got a good defense, you also get the ball in better position.
Right. Everything goes hand in hand. You know, when our special teams are playing well and our defense is playing well, Cutler looks better.
Yeah.
You know, when those other things aren't going well, he looks bad. And I think a lot of quarterbacks would in that situation.
I was really kind of surprised. You got rid of Marshall, right?
Yep.
I was really kind of surprised that he was were there locker room issues?
I think there were some locker room issues, and the Jeffries receiver, Alshon
Jeffries,
is pretty special. Bennett, I guess, has had just an awesome offseason, really stepped up his conditioning at tight end. So I think he's going to be huge. And Forte is probably one of the most undervalued running backs in the league. He's pretty special. He's starting to get a little old. I hope that don't bite us. But we did pick up Langford from Michigan State.
Nice.
We drafted him. So I think he's a kind of good backup in waiting. So we'll see what happens.
Meals start. What's the first game?
We start, like I said, August 10th, first day of practice. August 28th, we will be down at Chester. And the last time we were there, the Mules won a conference championship.
That
so, you know, one of the special nights as a football coach, and I think anybody that was there, it's one of you. Once a month, somebody come up to me and say that was one of the best games they've ever seen. So hopefully we can duplicate that and get off to a good start.
Let's see if we can do that. Thanks very much for joining me,
thanks
Justin.
For having
appreciate
me.
It. That's Justin's got to get out of here just a little bit earlier. He's got to go. You can go ahead and take off. He's got to go take the Landon to work out. Now, Landon, you make sure you work hard, okay? All right. Gives me a second to go over the schedule for the Fairfield Mules football team this year. Starting on August 28th at Chester, Most of these games on Friday night at 7 o'clock. They're going to be at Chester and then at home against Christopher. CZR will be coming in on the did you say yes?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Then it's McLeansboro at McLeansboro. And then it's Tremont at Tremont. So it's the first three of the first four games are on the road. And then they got a couple at home. Carmi at home, Vienna at home, then at El Dorado, Cesar at home, and wrapping up the season against Johnston City, the last year's conference champs, the Johnston City Indians. So it ought to be a lot of fun with the Fairfield Mules football team this year. You want to sit down or what do you want to do there? All right. I'm going to try to see if I'm going to play some music for the rest of the thing since he had to leave early. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Bruce Dickey Show. You have a great day.